Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dr. Carl, he's our Australian scientist. He's a communicator and a science popularizer. Good morning. How are you?
Ah, Dr. Howard, absolutely fabulously well, and very happy to be with you again.
So is it true that mice in laboratories behave differently when handled by men and women?
Yes, this was a real surprise. There's a standard test that they do with mice involved in how fit they are, and it's basically to get them fit to swim as far as they can. And when they got one of their scientists to try to reproduce these results, they could not. And they suddenly realized, when they did a bit more work, that whenever the mice were handled by women, they would not swim as far. It turned out they were less anxious. And then it wasn't just being handled or being touched, but just the smell of men and women, either from T-shirts or even from a cotton swab drawn across their wrist or from behind the ear, that was enough to completely change the behavior in this swim test of mice. So a lot of the results that we've got with mice turn out that there might be a bias, there might be inaccuracies. Furthermore, it turns out that if you are testing mice for various medical things, that the mice are actually nocturnal animals.
Mm-hmm.
They like to sleep in the daytime. And so if you're testing them in your daytime,
they're basically teenagers.
That's your nighttime. Mm. Yeah.
Ah.
And so they're being sleep deprived. What sort of work is that?
Absolutely. Unacceptable. But so fascinating, isn't this? There's clearly still so much that we can learn from this, and we think that we're so advanced, but there's so much that we simply don't know yet.
And also, just the realization that we look at everything through the bias of your eyes.
Yes.
Whether you're a younger person or an older person, male or female, rich or poor, different nationality, we all have our own biases, and beginning to understand them makes things so much better for all of us.
Absolutely. It's always so interesting because we've had this conversation before where we'll go to on safari game reserve and we'll be watching a group of whether it's monkeys or lions, whatever it would be, and my wife and my children are seeing all sorts of these family dynamics there, and I'm thinking, all we're doing is watching them just be. You know, why is it that we're imposing our own personification or whatever it would be on what we're watching? But everybody loves it. And of course, I do that with my own dogs. I do that all. We all do that to a greater or lesser extent. That we see things, we see the world through our own perspective.
Yes, and being able to see the other person's point of view is good. There is a phrase for it: to walk a mile in another person's shoes,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a lot of sense.
Really, really interesting. Let's talk about spiders' webs.
Yeah, so it turns out that a certain type of spider called the bridge spider has the most sensitive ears in the world and is also the only animal to have ears outside the body. So animals left the oceans around 400 million years ago, and there were a whole bunch of different evolutions that happened. And either we have something like an eardrum, a membrane, which vibrates when it's hit by the pressure of a sound wave, or we can have long, wispy filaments that detect the velocity component of sound, like some very small arthropods or creatures with shells.
Hmm.
The bridge spider is the only creature that has an eardrum outside, or has an ear outside of its body, which is also up to 10,000 times bigger than the spider itself. And what they do is they make a web, and then we've done experiments by pointing loudspeakers at different parts of the web, and the web can pick up sounds, very, very faint sounds, the faintest sounds that we've ever been able to get detected by any animal. So it looks like spider webs made by the bridge spider are possibly the most sensitive ears in the known natural world.
That's absolutely incredible. Really incredible. Yossi says that it's incredible as well that even mice prefer a woman's touch. All right, that's one thing to take out of that story, but the spider one, fascinating as well. And astronomers have detected an explosion so powerful that it has released more energy in thousands of seconds than our sun does over 100,000 years. Tell us about this.
Yes, and the thing was, it happened in a nearby galaxy called the Greater Magellanic Cloud, about 150,000 light years away. And the explosion happened in a neutron star. So a neutron star is about twice the mass of our sun, but not spread out over 1.5 million kilometers, but 20. So each cubic centimeter, like the tip of your finger, mm-hmm. weighs 10,000 tons. And this explosion, we think it happened because the neutron star was orbiting another star, a regular star. It was sucking matter off that regular star, and it was sucking oxygen, and the oxygen then fell into the neutron star, got broken down into neutrons, went down to about 500 meters below the surface, and then exploded. And even though it released more energy than our sun does in 100,000 years, the stuff above it was so dense that it damped it down. And the only hint that we got was that the neutron star became quite quickly twice as hot as any other neutron star we've ever measured, up around 10,000 degrees instead of 5,000 or 3,000.
Unbelievable. Daniel says, is it big enough an explosion to wake up a teenager?
It all depends. Mm. If you find what the teenager loves, mm-hmm. be it the sound of another person's voice or a music riff or perhaps the sound of a particular food packet being opened, that will wake them from the sleep of the dead.
You are absolutely right. They sleep through anything. But if you want to open, and I don't know if you have chuckles in Australia, it's whispers, chuckles, it's like that chocolate-covered something. You open a packet of chuckles within 100 meters of a teenager who is dead to the world, they will hear it. They will hear it. You're absolutely right. I think that is the answer. There's no doubt about that. You don't need an explosion. And Jenny says, you see, this whole mice story, this is why us women jump on chairs when we see a mouse, because they actually are attracted to us.
Oh, and it's self-defense. Boo the patriarch. Thank you very much, Dr. Jenny.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. I feel like they're not taking us seriously enough today, Dr. Carl. There's definitely a behavioral problem with some of my listeners today. Unsigned says, those binary normative misogynistic mice, how dare they simply assume the scientist's gender? I don't know.
That's a whole complicated question, but don't forget that Joan of Arc,
yes,
was actually a man.
What? What did you just say?
Oh, Joan of Arc was a man.
Jason of Arc. What do you mean?
Joan of Arc. Joan.
Was he? Are you? What? Okay, you have to explain that.
From congenital adrenal hyperplasia.
Yes.
So had the external characteristics of a woman, but had XY chromosomes.
Wow, basically a Russian athlete.
Well, we'll dive into that another time, bearing in mind the age of our audience.
Right, exactly. Thank you, Dr. Cole, for saving me from myself. It is about to go 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem. That's Dr. Cole. He's our scientist. He's actually a very clever guy. And I don't like your behavior around him this morning and around this very serious conversation. It's about to go 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.